You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Thank you, Dean Smalley, and the staff here at the Advent. Mary and I are delighted to be with you. I bring you greetings from St. George's Episcopal Church in Nashville. Good people. Similar to yourselves, it truly is an honor to be here. Our text this morning comes from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, before I get going this morning, just a bit of music trivia. Born on this date, March the 4th, 1963, bass player Jason Newsted of the heavy metal band Metallica. And I knew it was the right crowd. I know you're all big fans and you think fondly of Metallica, as I do. They released, you'll remember, in 1991, their single, Enter Sandman. And the song told the story of a child's nightmares. Well, this is relevant. You and I suspect, have all lived through some variation of the nightmare story. Someone is frightened because they heard a noise in the basement, the garage, perhaps in the attic, the closet, downstairs if you're upstairs, or upstairs if you're downstairs. Maybe it's a child, a teenager. Even we adults can get scared when we hear things go bump in the night and we're gripped in those moments. Well, if we have someone there, we'll have someone go check it out for us. Investigate the sound or the shadow. And most every child has had a parent do this for them. I remember I was probably 9 or 10 years old. For some reason, my parents let me go to the theater to see John Carpenter's Halloween. Oh my God. I didn't sleep for 4 months. I went to fifth grade with bags under my eyes. My parents had to continually assure me, Michael Myers is not here, waiting to get you. But You've had this happen, that you'll have mom or dad go check it out in the dark of the night. Mom, dad, you know, I'm scared. I heard something. And so they come to investigate. They'll open the closet door. They'll turn on the light. They may look under the bed. And calmly, hopefully calmly, they'll return to the child and reassure them that everything is all right. There's nothing to fear here. You can rest easy. You're safe. I'm here. Now, the degree to which that alleviates our fears or the child's fears is somewhat determined by how much we believe what we've just heard. Are we sure that everything actually is all right? We humans are pretty skeptical and clever at times, and what if the boogeyman tricked dad or tricked mom and they're actually still there under the bed, you know, and they hid? What if mom didn't see it? And so our fear can then again begin to override the relationship that we have. Well, I believe central to me, absolutely central to our Christian faith, is the unequivocal reassurance that death has been defeated and that it holds no power over us. Here are just a few of those verses that declare this Incredible statement. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. He placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Or the portion that we heard from the reading from 2 Timothy this morning. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ, who abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I don't know if you heard in that second passage the similarity to our experience, that analogy of a parent with a child putting your hand on the child. Don't be afraid. Calming reassurance in the face of our fears. There was a famous preacher when I was a boy growing up in at First Presbyterian Church in Fort Davis, Texas, named Lloyd John Ogilvie, who was a Presbyterian minister from Hollywood, California, also chaplain to the Senate. And he wrote a book titled Facing the Future Without Fear, Prescriptions for Courageous Living in the New Millennium. And Ogilvie offers that there are 366 fear nots in Scripture. I didn't go back and count them to see if he was right, but I'll take him at his word. 366 fear nots or be not afraids. And so that includes one for every day, including a year like this year, leap year, right? We can just read one every single day. And I would love to sit here and tell you that if we simply read one be not afraid every day, that it will keep the boogeyman away, much like an apple in the doctor, that it will solve our anxiety issues. It's not that easy, unfortunately. You see, I imagine the reason we're told not to be afraid so often in Scripture is the fact that the Lord knows that life can be scary and that we often are afraid. Life scares us. It scares me. I mean, I was saying to Dean Smalley this morning, I was like, I don't even know why I'm here. I have imposter syndrome. I'm scared to death to be standing up in front of you right now. What if I blow it? And I would feel that way no matter where I am. It's there, fear can come get us. It scared the disciples. It scared Jesus. Life scared Jesus. At least that's what I hear in his struggles in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, "Father, let this cup pass." In other words, if we can do this a different way, let's do this a different way. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, and I may be stepping out on a thin theological limb here, so Dean Smalley will clean this up after I'm gone tomorrow. We like to think of God as omniscient, that God knows everything, but God had never become human, and God as man was facing death. I don't think God was omniscient about that, knowing what it is like as a human to face death. Fear. I can understand why. He was fully human. I understand the fear. Nevertheless, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." I can imagine in my mind the Father saying to Jesus, "I know. I know this is scary. But you have to do it. My children will remain captive and without hope if you don't face this fear with them and for them." And so, is it true what we've just heard in Second Timothy? Has Christ actually defeated the sting of death? Does death no longer have the most emphatic word or point of reference in our lives? Or is the boogeyman death still lurking in the basement? Perhaps Jesus was tricked. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the degree to which our fears or a child's fear are alleviated is determined much by how much we trust or believe what's being said and who's telling us this. Our fear, again, can override that relationship. Now, to be clear, we completely misunderstand Christ's victory over death if we conclude that the cycle of death and resurrection has been undone. You and I both know people still physically die, so that can't be what this is talking about, or it's a mental fiction. Now, the power of death resides in our fear of death, that it is the strongest arbiter in our lives. The strength of death is particularly seen in its finality, its seeming finality. It's over. That's why death is scary. It seems definitive. It's finishing. They call it the finishing blow. That's over. But the gospel proclamation, God's message to you in this analogy that I'm using about our nightmares and our fears, I think is something like this. Jesus goes down into the basement to check out the fears by dying himself. He faces and understands death completely by entering into it completely. He turns on the light. He is the light of the world. And he returns to us, walking out of a tomb to assure us that there is nothing to fear. You can rest easy. You're safe. I'm here. Really? Can you believe him? Can I believe him? And these are not one-time questions. Can I believe him is not a one-time question. These questions continue to come up. They're not questions which disappear, that if we just remember or read our Be Not Afraid verse, we're not afraid again. Several years ago, I was faced with a dire situation, losing somebody that I love dearly. And Christ's presence, his reassurance, helped me greatly. I was still scared. I could imagine him saying, "Malone, be not afraid." It wasn't that I wasn't scared, but I wasn't alone. And I'm with one who had faced death, who had faced darkness and fear. He says, "I'm with you." It harkens back to Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death." Walking through that darkness, I'm not alone. And with everything that Jesus did and taught for me, it has become one of the most important, the most potent of all things. That life and love conquer death and fear. That God indeed has put all things in subjection under his feet, and that Christ did abolish death and has brought life and immortality to light through his beautiful gospel. Jesus has exposed and continues to expose our fears for what they actually are. Noise. Noise in the basement, noise in the attic, or noise in the garage. No ultimate substance. But because Jesus is also the Good Shepherd, full of compassion and mercy, he doesn't tell me that good news simply one time and leave me alone. No, every time I hear that noise in the basement, or that noise in the attic, which conjures up the fear of death in me again, Jesus, through his Spirit, like a parent with a child, is with me. and again says to me, "Hey, I've been down in the basement. There's nothing to be afraid of. You can rest easy. You're safe. I'm here." I didn't know we were going to sing this hymn, but that final verse says it perfectly. "Keep, O keep us, Savior dear, ever constant by thy side, that with thee we may appear at the eternal Eastertide." Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.